Let us explore the Bible together on Glorious Morning Study Hour on AWR SID Media, from broadcast to baptism.
So we continue to shine the light, bring the spotlight on the scriptures, right? This is our Bible principle segment. Lesson number four is where we're at, God the Son. And today we want to focus on how it's about Emmanuel, God with us. As we began this lesson, we looked at Christ in his heavenly glory. But today we want to, continue the story with a radical, almost unthinkable turn, right? It is the moment the infinite becomes finite, unthinkable, like I said. The moment the creator of the universe allows himself to be knit together in a human womb. We call it the incarnation. Christ with us, Emmanuel. But it's more than just a Christmas story. It's a real-life global rescue mission, and you need to look at it from that perspective. Did Jesus leave his divinity behind, or did he carry it with him into the dust of Palestine? And perhaps most importantly, did he face temptation just as we do? Or did he have a divine advantage which we can never possess? Today we're looking at the life, the struggle, and the ultimate sacrifice of the Word made flesh. Pastor Genesis joins us to guide us. Pastor, good morning and welcome.
Morning, my brother. How are you? Thank you.
No, we're all right. Thank you so much for this. Appreciating you joining us. I'm trusting you're also doing okay.
I'm doing okay, my brother. Thank you so much.
Marvelous. Thank you, Pastor. Thank you. Obviously, we are taking a bit of a turn. It's one thing to define Christ as divine and look at him from that grander perspective. But the question comes through and says, why did God the Son need to become incarnate, made flesh, like we read yesterday, John chapter 1, verse 14? Talk to us a bit about that.
Okay, thank you so much, my brother. All right, maybe to start with, because of our time, let me just allude to the text that you have just started with, John chapter 1, verse 14. Mm-hmm. The Word became flesh, yeah, and dwelt among us. Yes, I heard you earlier on when you were talking of Emmanuel, God with us.
Yeah.
And, earlier on, God has always wanted to be with us. Mm-hmm. that's one thing that you always wanted to tabernacle with us, and we always wanted to dwell with us. That's why you see in the book of Exodus chapter 25, he is actually instructing Moses to tell the children of Israel to build a temple so that he can dwell among them.
Yeah.
So it has been always his intention that he dwells among us. From the onset of creation, God wanted to be among people. Only that Adam did the other way around, yeah, and caused it not to be like that, you know.
Yeah,
yeah. But it has always been his intention. So, this idea of God the Son becoming human is central to creation theology. Mm. We cannot talk of, like we alluded to yesterday, that we cannot talk of Christianity without Christ. And worse off, without him being among us, we cannot talk of Christ. Mm. And the reason why actually he had to become flesh, it was to reveal God fully. Yeah.
I don't know what's that whistling sound behind you. I don't know if you can help us there. It's causing some terrible, terrible feedback as we are having this conversation. Mfundisi is joining us this morning, Pastor Genesis Mitepela, guiding us through understanding God the Son and how he, who is the King of the universe, gave up. I mean, I love how Philippians would put it, Paul there saying he didn't count godliness something to be grasped with, but became of none effect, even as a human being, and gave himself even at the death of the cross. Mfundisi, do we have you back?
Yeah, I'm back, man.
Yes,
I think there was just something happening. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Okay. So, it's as human beings, one thing that we need to agree is that we could not fully comprehend God's nature. Mm. And it wasn't as easy as we are saying just to say we know God.
Yeah. Yeah.
And as many people today might say they know God, I don't think they really understand what they are talking if they don't take John chapter 1, verse 14 into consideration and take it up from there as Christians. Christ himself yet to declare, John had to declare in John 1, verse 18, that no one has seen God at any time.
Mm.
Yeah, nobody. And for that reason, even the scriptures, they actually allude to this in the book of 1 John, that how can you love someone whom you have not seen? Well, so it really brings us to the baseline that we don't know God. And this is the reason why Christ came, so that he may reveal God fully to us. Yeah, without the incarnation, God would remain distant, bruh, and abstract. Yeah, he would remain distant without incarnation. Actually, we want to thank Jesus for coming, because now God is with us. He's not distant. He's with us. So put it, and he's no longer abstract. Mm.
When you talk about this idea for now with us, I mean, talking a lot about this passage you read yesterday, and you went to town on that, John chapter 1, verses 1 to 3, on how God, you know, you even made that illustration when you paraphrased it in the beginning, God was the God, and God was God, and God, you know, and you made that picture very clear. Christ is God, eternal in his nature, especially when you look at it from an eternity past. But now when you read verse 14, it says Christ then became a human being. The introduction was pointing out how he was knit together in his mother's womb, and he became a human being. Now the question is, is he now 100% human, or is he 100% divine, or is he 50% human, 50% divine, and is a combination? Well, what is he now?
he's still good, bruh.
Oh, okay.
As of now, he's still good. Yeah. Maybe let me. The Bible does not explain in a philosophical formula who Jesus is in as 100%.
All right.
But what the Bible just does to us is that one thing that I understand, it was two truths side by side.
Mm.
No, yeah, these and the Bible calls us to believe both that he is 100% human and 100% divine. Maybe I'm explain this,
okay?
By how the scriptures clearly affirms Jesus' divinity.
Mm-hmm.
Like yesterday, we alluded to it earlier on that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and we have just alluded to that the God was with God.
Yeah.
So what it means is the Word was so divinity. Actually, that one kills everything. And then we read in Colossians chapter 2, verse 9, it says, "In him dwells all fullness of the Godhead bodily."
Yeah.
Yeah, bodily. You know, it's we need to understand that now the Godhead bodily. This is the divinity in Jesus Christ. And also another verse that strikes me most is Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3,
mm-hmm.
which says he is the express image of God's person.
Hmm.
So Jesus is not like God. He is God in essence.
Hmm.
He is not like God. Yeah, he is the express image. So, and also when you look at, this is 100%. So we need to agree and acknowledge that Jesus is 100% divine. Mm. And then we also need the scriptures to affirm that he is also 100%, if we put it that way, 100% humanity. Maybe if you look at John chapter 1, verse 14, we've just read, it says the Word became flesh.
Yeah.
You know, in other words, we are saying God became flesh.
Yeah.
So by saying God became flesh, he is not ceasing to be God. He is God in flesh. So that makes him now 100% divine, 100% human, because God became flesh. And also, when he became flesh, Luke chapter 2, verse 52 goes in and say, he grew in wisdom and stature. He grew. So that's humanity.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
God in his divinity does not grow. Does not grow.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Now in human nature, he grew.
There's that movement. Yeah.
In wisdom and in stature. So Hebrews 2:17 actually talks about us sharing. You know, he was made to be like his brethren in all things. Mm. So that's humanity. So he is 100% human. He is 100% divine. In other words, him becoming flesh did not eradicate his godliness. Mm.
Mm.
Yeah, I want us to understand this. By becoming flesh, Jesus did not throw away his divinity. He was putting divinity when he put humanity. And hence, there were times when he would do it at the same time that he's acting in the divinity manner,
mm-hmm.
and in the same instance or in the same incident he acts in the humanity nature. That's one thing that I have always appreciated. You know, in John chapter 8, for people to understand this, in John chapter 11, you find that it says Jesus wept.
Yes.
That's humanity. And then at the same time, while Jesus has wept, it says he raised Lazarus. That's divinity.
Yeah, that's something.
At the same time, so he's 100% emotional. He wept. As he is 100% divine, he raised Lazarus. So it's something that strikes most, and that is the mystery of godliness.
And I wanted us to talk about that, to say, you know, when you look at Christ and especially that combination you're raising and then how he does work from both ends of the spectrum. You hear, for example, the book of Hebrews speaking about how he was tempted in all points as we are. How does this idea of him being divine not give us discouragement? Because we can say, no, but surely he could have done those things because he was divine. How can we be encouraged in our daily lives that we are like Christ and he was like us and he gave us an example? Because surely someone who has got an advantage over me cannot be my example.
Okay. All right. I think Philippians chapter 2, verse 6 to 8 actually explains a lot. That though he was God, he emptied himself. Though he was God, he emptied himself. Now, I want us to understand that phrase, emptying himself. Well, at least he's still God. I want us to understand, is not actually canceling Jesus being God.
Okay.
But he's saying, though at that time he was God, he emptied himself. And the time that he would empty himself, he would become human 100%, or at least he's still 100% divine. That's why Jesus is saying, when he's being nailed on the cross, he's saying, I am thirsty. This is the reason why you see in his humanity, he's facing the cup and he's saying to God, Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass.
Mm-hmm.
That can only be said in humanity. So Jesus, whatever he went through, he thirsted, he was hungry, you know, he could cry because he had emotions and he was tempted. You know, that's the reason why you see when the devil is taking him into, using him in the wilderness, he's taking advantage. The devil is taking advantage of his hunger, knowing very well. I think the very good creature to tell us about Jesus 100% divinity, 100% human, it's the devil himself. He knows it. That's why he could actually wait until he sees him acting in humanity, that he wants to take advantage and strike. So he was fully human and he was tempted, but still he committed no sin. Mm-hmm. So it is possible. That's the reason why he came, so that he can show us that you can live godly in human form. Mm-hmm. That's the only reason why Christ came. You can live, and that's the reason why he came in human form, to show us that we can live godly in human form. We can live perfectly in human form. So it's an encouragement to us.
I want to maybe get clarity on a statement you put earlier on, to say in his human form, you know, he would do these things, weeping. Let's take, for example, John 11, the incident at Lazarus's tomb, right? In human form, he wept, but in his divine form, he raised Lazarus. I want to bring some sort of clarity, Muruti, to that, to say, please assist us. These two, are they being done, one as a God, one as a human, or are both being done as a human being?
Okay, this is now where you cannot draw a line between the 100% 100%, because he is the same person.
But you gave us Philippians, Muruti, and Philippians says he emptied himself. In other words, he did not access, he was still God, but he did not access that God power on earth. And what you are suggesting to us in John 11 is that he then accessed his God power here on earth because he was still God. But Philippians always says he put a barrier to access of that God power that he had possession of in himself.
I'm asking for
John 11 clarity, to say, is he doing that as God or is he doing that as human being?
Let's understand this, Brother Derek.
Okay.
He did not put a barrier to access God's power or his power as God.
Okay.
Because if you go down with the text, it says the reason why we saw him emptying himself, it was because of him submitting even to the cross.
Yes.
Otherwise, he could have called 10,000 angels, you know that, and destroyed the world. But he emptied himself and submitted to the crucifixion. Not that he had no access to the godly, because the moment then he ceases to have no access, what it means is he would cease to be God at that moment of time. So the 100% thing,
not that he does not have access. No, he himself restricted himself from not accessing his power.
Because,
that's what I'm saying. Not that he was disconnected.
But rather, he said,
"I will not access. I will walk the grounds of dusty Palestine," like our intro said, as a human being, and which is why I'm wanting clarity from the John account to say when we look at the
tomb, is he one part God there crying
at the tomb, and then one part God raising Lazarus?
Yes. And another good example, maybe so that I can explain it fully, is when Jesus was in the boat. He slept because he was tired.
Yeah.
That's humanity.
Yeah.
And then when there was a storm, he calmed the sea, even the winds obey him.
Is it doing that as God, or is it doing that as a human being? The calming of the winds.
That's divinity now.
So we can't stand up and calm the winds.
We can't.
But Muruti, then please explain to me John chapter 14, verse 12. Truly, truly, I say to you, greater things than these will you do because you believe in me. What does that mean?
Okay, greater things. I think you know what? One thing that we need to bear in mind, we can never do greater things than Jesus did. Let us bear in mind that. We need to understand it in the context, not of the magnitude of what he did.
Okay.
Yeah. But of the, maybe if I would put it in a simple term, the quantity of events, because when I go, there's no way whereby the servant can outshine the master. We need to understand this. He is our master. He did greater things nobody can do.
I want you to please name the things that we cannot do when we have belief and faith and trust in the Holy Spirit being able to use us in that form. What is it that Jesus could have done in his walk on earth that we can say we cannot do? We cannot raise the dead through the power of the Holy Spirit. We cannot calm the storms in the power of the Holy Spirit. We cannot heal sick and cast out demons. We can't, because we are not Jesus and God.
Okay, Brother Derek.
Yes, Muruti.
We have so many storms going around. Does it mean that people have they don't have Holy Spirit in them, the Holy Spirit of God? We've got so many.
One could
hurricanes.
Ask the question, Muruti, to say John chapter 5, he gets to the pool of Bethesda and he only heals one person. Is it because he had a shortage of power?
No.
The pool was full of people who were sick, but only one person receives healing.
But when you get this, Brother Derek, whenever he's doing this, by the way, he's not doing to showcase his superpowers.
Exactly.
But he's doing this so that God can be glorified.
That's fine.
Okay.
Well, that's not the question.
Right.
Yeah, that's not the argument.
Mm-hmm. All right. That's not the argument.
Yeah, the argument is that which Christ did, can we or can we not do?
There are things that you cannot do that Christ did.
Please name.
There are so many. You can't resurrect, Baba.
But Muruti, we've got so many stories of human beings resurrecting other human beings. So many stories.
No. I said you can't, if you are dead yourself, you cannot resurrect yourself.
No, we're talking about when he walked. When he said greater things than these, he was still on earth and he was talking alive. We're talking about that.
Didn't he do some other things? Because he's saying when I've departed, greater things will you do.
Yeah.
He did it while he was still on earth.
Yes.
He did not resurrected in heaven, Baba. He did it when he was still on earth. Even after that, he went on even to bring fish out of the abundance of the waters when they could not even see fish, the disciples.
Yeah.
You get what I'm saying?
And so, that cannot be done by human beings.
I haven't heard any other fisherman or any other somebody who is filled with the Holy Spirit who could just go by the Kariba gym there and then tell people who are struggling to catch fish and say, just cast it on the right side.
So in other words, Jesus had an advantage over us and we cannot really use him as an example, is what you're saying, Muruti.
No, that's not it.
You can't be speaking from both sides of your mouth, Muruti.
Okay, Brother Derek, the reason why I actually explained Jesus' natures is that we understand that he is the same person who is coming with two natures.
I don't deny that. But the moment, Pastor, you bring a V12 and you bring a four-cylinder, the two are not the same. Even both are cars. You see, it's a car.
Right.
The V12 also drives on the road. Therefore, it's the same as a four-cylinder. No, it's not the same, Bazalwane. It's not. And that's the part we want to just argue. And I see our time, Monita, I need to let you go.
No, it's okay. Maybe we'll continue tomorrow.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Yeah. I think it's my time. It's time up now.
Yeah.
Thank
maybe
you
just, so much. Just give your closing statement and then we can meet again tomorrow.
Okay. All right. What I just want us to understand, my brother, is that there is nothing that we can compare or we can use as an illustration mm-hmm. between us and Jesus, mm-hmm. anything that is matter or physical, mm-hmm. especially when it comes into the powers and whatsoever. One thing that we just need to know is that this is the mystery of godliness. This is the mystery of incarnation. Mm. One thing that we cannot do is to fathom or to comprehend and fully understand what it is. Because the moment we come into that, then we might have been in the council that decided that. Okay, maybe we start from there tomorrow. Thank you so much. God bless you.
Thank you, Pastor Genesis. May God bless you. Our pastor there taking us and helping us to understand this important subject of what it means to really, really follow in the footsteps of Christ and who God the Son, what it meant for Emmanuel to be with us, God with us, God, as one would have interpreted there. And thank you so much for just being a part of us and giving us this conversation, Pastor. We appreciate you. Mfundisi Mtepela, he joins us again tomorrow. Don't miss that conversation.
Adventist World Radio SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.